Radio Prague News.
Anti-corruption police have raided the offices of the state Czech Invest agency in Prague. Authorities report a sharp rise in drug tourism on the Czech-German border, and the outgoing ambassador to NATO has warned against continued decreasing of military expenditures in the Czech Republic. The anti-corruption police have raided the offices of the state Czech Invest agency in Prague. The reason for the raid is not yet known. Police and Czech Invest officials were unable to comment as the investigation is ongoing. According to the Czech press agency, the company's electronic systems were taken offline and employees were sent home. A press release made by the Social Democratic Party in July accused the company's director of trying to quietly privatize one of its main functions, which is to manage European grants and draw investors into the country. Czech Invest denied the allegation. The authorities report a sharp rise in drug tourism on the Czech-German border. According to Bavarian police, an increasing number of Germans have been traveling to the Czech border areas to buy drugs from Vietnamese dealers, mainly the methamphetamine-based drug pervitin and marijuana. While in 2010, Bavarian police detained 183 people with drugs they had bought in the Czech border areas, last year their number rose to 553. The police say that while initially people bought small amounts for their own use, they now suspect that a distribution network is being created with an even greater amount of drugs being smuggled to Germany. The outgoing ambassador to NATO and his successor have strongly warned against continued decreasing of military expenditures in the Czech Republic and other NATO countries. In an interview for the Czech press agency, Martin Povejšil said he considers the situation very serious and that the Allies would be faced with a real danger if member states continue to decrease their spending. Jiří Šedivý, who will assume the post in September, said the Czech Republic will have to offer other quality ways of participating in NATO activities if spending on defense continues to decrease and the presence in Afghanistan is reduced. NATO recommends its member states spend about 2% of their GDP on defense. Military spending in the Czech Republic last year, for instance, amounted to only 1.15% of GDP. Unemployment in the Czech Republic grew to 8.3% in July from 8.1% in June. The number of job seekers rose by just over 11,000 to nearly 500,000. According to fresh statistics from the Ministry of Labour and Social Affairs, the lowest rate of unemployment was in Prague at 3.3%, followed by Mladá Boleslav and Plzeň. The highest was in the region of Bruntál in northern Moravia, where there were 42 job seekers per open position last month. Unemployment benefits were granted to 18.9% of the unemployed. The percentage of Roma children in schools for the mentally impaired has declined in the last 2 years, according to the Czech School Inspectorate. The institute's inspection revealed that Roma children make up 26.4% of pupils in such programs, compared to 35% 2 years ago. The Czech Republic has faced international criticism for years for the rate at which Roma are improperly diagnosed with serious learning disabilities and sent to practical, formerly called special schools. Since last year, parents have had to agree with the placement of their children in such schools. The government and the ombudsman are planning to announce further steps to combat the problem in September. The Senate Economics Committee has recommended that the upper house reject the government's proposal for church restitution. The bill will be voted on next week in the Senate, which is controlled by the opposition. Should it be rejected as expected, the proposal will head back to the Chamber of Deputies, where the government will require 101 votes to overturn the Senate vote. Under the draft legislation, the Czech state would return some 56% of the physical property worth around 75 billion crowns. For the rest, Czech churches and religious societies would receive some 60 billion crowns in compensation over a period of 30 years. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions should be partly cloudy to overcast, with daytime highs between 22 and 26 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's programme, the race is on for the autumn regional and Senate elections, and the Prague Pneumatic Post looks set to get a new lease on life. Later on in the show, Jan Richter talks to the Czech owner of a bar in London about doing business in the UK, and we'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. Tuesday marked the final day that candidates could register for regional and Senate elections this autumn. Candidates will contest 27 seats in the Senate, while others vie for posts in 13 regional assemblies. Jan Wellinger has the details.
It may be early days, but the run-up to regional and Senate elections this autumn has begun. 4 p.m. Tuesday was the final deadline for potential candidates. Now parties will vie for potential voters up until election day. Regional elections will take place on October the 13th, as well as the first round of Senate elections, while the second round of Senate elections will take place a week later. As in the past, opinion polls as well as pundits are suggesting the two biggest players in the fall elections will be the ruling Civic Democrats and opposition Social Democrats, both taking a different tack. While the former want to emphasize regional issues, the latter want to make the election a referendum on the national government. The opposition parties are hoping that widely unpopular austerity measures, the VAT hike or opposition to a major bill on church restitution will propel them to victory. Social Democrat Milan Škěch, the Speaker of the Upper House.
I think that the issue of church restitution will be one that many people will be deciding about. At a time when everyone is being asked to tighten their belt, a bill costing 140 billion crowns, in my opinion, will impact how people vote.
The Communist Party also wants to bring national issues to the fore. The party's deputy chairman Jiří Dolejš confirmed that his party would focus on church restitution as well as the state of public finances, which he said also impacted the regions. The ruling Civic Democrats, meanwhile, hit back, slamming the Social Democrats, for example, who dominated in the regions for 4 years. They emphasized they would also put regional issues front and center. Pavel Drobil is the Civic Democrats' campaign manager.
It's sad that even after 4 years that the Social Democrats dominated in the regions, they still don't know what the jurisdiction of regional assemblies is.
Which message will click with voters will be one of the big questions ahead of the autumn elections, but it may be harder or even not desirable to differentiate between national and local politics for one reason: the presence of a number of former politicians in government now seeking the office of governor in several regions. They are recently dismissed Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, who will be running in Plzeň, former Social Democrat Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek in Úzký nad Labem, and former Deputy Prime Minister Jiří Čunek in Zlín.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Moving on now, the Czech capital boasts many historical monuments, but few of its residents realize it is also home to the world's last preserved pneumatic post. Using simple laws of physics, messages and small parcels were shipped through the system of pipes until the network was severely damaged by the 2002 floods. But now, 125 years since the Prague Pneumatic Post was first launched, a Czech businessman promises to bring it back. Jan Richter has the story.
The internet of the 19th century, a network of underground tubes, ran between the city's major post offices, government offices, banks and other important institutions, allowing them to quickly exchange information. The first line of Prague's pneumatic post opened in August 1887, but its heyday only came half a century later, when the network consisted of 55 kilometers of metal pipes. The system remained in operation until Prague was hit by severe flooding in the summer of 2002. Its owner, Telefonica, lacked the funds and perhaps the will to fix it, so the firm recently sold the whole system to a Czech software entrepreneur, Martin Dražil.
Takovouhle nádhervu máme poslední na celém světě.
We are the last in the whole world to have such a beauty. One of the last remaining systems was destroyed in Budapest in 1992. So I said to myself that I would do something to save such a unique monument, and I bought it. Now we are working to have it listed as a national technical monument and open it up to the public.
The system is based on the principles of hydraulic pressure. When a capsule is inserted at one end, a special blower would move it through the pipe to a distance of up to 3 kilometers. For longer stretches, the machine at the other end would suck the capsule in. In the 1990s, some 9,000 capsules were exchanged each month between the various terminals of the system, which so enchanted Mr. Dražil.
The system, based on absolutely trivial principles, carried not only data but also small objects. There are stories about the employees sending each other a sausage in one capsule and rolls in another. When they wanted to scare the ladies operating the system, they would put a mouse in the capsule.
Details of the transaction were not disclosed, but it will probably be much more expensive to bring the pneumatic post back to life. Experts put the cost of resuming operation in the area of millions of crowns. Mr. Dražil says that some of the pneumatic post terminals, such as the one at Prague Castle, could become new attractions for people who share his enthusiasm.
Jan Richter with that report. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And Jan Richter now stays with us for another edition of Marketplace.
Excluding the Czech Olympic team and its fans, there are an estimated 50,000 Czechs living in London. Most of them came in search of better or better paid jobs, but some have also set up their own businesses. One of them is Luděk Dvořák, who came to the British capital over a decade ago from Litvinov in the north of the Czech Republic and opened his own bar. Today, Mr. Dvořák runs two bars in London, both called Prague. One of them is located in the trendy area of Shoreditch, the other just a few minutes' walk from the Czech Olympic House in Islington. That's where I sat down with Luděk Dvořák and asked him how business is going.
I just bought this bar half a year ago. Business is steady, slowly. It's picking up every week. Yeah, each week is better and better, but we're still not there. We're still far from where we need to be.
What is the catch of the bar? How are you trying to get people to come here?
Well, by doing simply good stuff, you know, good cocktails, good drinks, you know, being reasonably priced, being nice, polite, little advertising, but yeah, just purely by at the moment word of mouth and being consistent at what we're doing.
Are the people who come here, are they mostly Czech expats or are they Londoners?
I wouldn't say there's that many Czech people. I reckon there's especially in this bar probably 30% of Czechs and Slovaks, and the rest is locals, English, a lot of foreigners. But yeah, we don't get that many Czech people purely because they don't live in the area. I personally don't know that many people who live in this area. So on like Monday night, it'll be kind of far for them to travel from, say, you know, sixth zone over here. Weekends get better. Definitely more people during the weekend because they have more time to come and travel the distance and, you know.
Did you feel at all the financial and economic sort of crunch that came a few years ago and still seems to be lagging on?
Funny enough, I didn't actually. We're quite reasonably priced, and we're not a club, so the money is actually coming during the day and evening. Where people save is on entrance to clubs or shots. Again, we're not place known as a place where people slam shots. So yeah, I've actually had a very successful couple of years, thanks to the crisis, yeah, surprisingly.
You said that you have another bar that's been running for quite some time in a nearby area. How did you get started in London?
Pure coincidence. I've studied here and started to work at the music venue, which later on I bought, and I've been running that place for a couple of years. And then as soon as my lease has been terminated, I got stuck with all the furniture, coffee machine, ashtrays, glasses, and I thought, well, what can I do? You know, I'll open another bar. And back then, that's about 7 years ago, I reckon, the only Czech place was the Czech pub in West Hampstead. And I thought, well, if I compete with these guys, you know, and make things better, I'll definitely get all the Czechs and Slovaks likewise to my bar. But then the other bar where has got an excellent location, so I actually never needed the Czech clientele. You know, it started to be busy quite from the beginning of the trading, and as I said, 7 years ago, and here we are, second bar. And
did you have any business experience when you came to the UK?
I've studied business. I've studied in Czech, in Germany. I've been studying all my life. I used to run my own business in Czech. But here in UK, no, I've learned everything as I came along, as troubles came along. But I have to say it's quite easy, actually. It's England has got rules. If you follow the rules, you'll be okay.
I was going to ask how you find the business environment here, perhaps compared to the Czech Republic.
Way easier, way more transparent. Most of the controlling bodies are actually helpful as opposed to being repressive. Say, hygienists, if they come, they'll tell you what's wrong. And if you make it right, that's it. You know, that's what they're after. In Czech, if they find something wrong straight away, they give you a penalty. Most of the bodies here are actually very helpful, and they want to cooperate with you. They want to make things better. So I find business actually way easier over here.
How is partying different in here compared to Prague, for instance? Because I've noticed, of course, here many bars have very strict closing hours, and there's many rules. So how do the Brits party when they come here?
There is certainly difference between partying in Czech and partying in England. London is actually quite unique. There's not that many troubles. Outside of London, you get fights, you get troubles pretty much on a daily basis. But we're somehow lucky that we don't get that kind of clientele. For some reason, we get really nice, chilled out people, touch wood. And in 10 years running a business here, I've never had a single major trouble. You know, few small ones, but nothing what we couldn't handle. Yeah, we're extremely, extremely lucky, unlike other places around here.
How do you choose the beers? So that you have Pilsner, Budweiser, and Kozel. Are these the best-known beers, Czech beers in England?
They are. Staropramen as well. There isn't that many companies who can supply you with beer and who can be consistent. I could get, you know, local beer from some small village in Czech, but then I would not be assured that that beer will be here every week. Those guys, you know, Pilsner, Urquell, Budweiser, they're major players, you know, and they supply with everything. There are no issues with deliveries. They have technical teams, which is quite important to have. If stuff goes wrong, they come pretty much same day, fix whatever needs to be fixed.
So that's a British company, British importer of those beers?
They are sort of like a subsidiaries, British subsidiaries, British owned companies, closely cooperating with the Czech breweries.
Do people come because of the Czech beer, or are they surprised when they see they have none of the Carlsberg and Kronenberg on tap?
No, Czech beer is very popular. Everybody knows that Czech beer is one of the best beers, and it does appeal to people. Yeah, one of the reasons why they come is that we're different to all the Carlsbergs, Carlings, and Kronenbergs, you know, which you can get pretty much anywhere else.
Do you offer any Czech cocktails?
We used to have Beton, Becherovka tonic, with a little bit of lemon, but it wasn't selling at all. No, and most of the cocktails, they actually don't come from Czech Republic. They're, you know, some of the classic ones, you find them in Czech as well. Everybody will recognize them. But like a typically Czech cocktail, to be honest, I don't even know what would that be. You know, Beton, Fernet tonic, stuff like that, which is really just a spirit with a mixer, but no. But I'm open to suggestions, so if anybody knows a good Czech cocktail, bring them on.
How about hiring? How do you hire your staff?
Instinct. You know, you come, I'll see how you behave, what sort of experience you have. It's sort of like a sixth sense.
Do you want your staff to speak Czech as well, or is English okay?
Not really, no. They have to be polite, friendly. They have to know the knowledge of cocktails, because I reckon 30-40% of business is cocktails. Pouring a pint, anybody can do that, but shaking a good quality cocktail, that is a skill. So I'm straight away limited by who I can actually employ, because not that many people know how to do good cocktails. If they speak Czech or English or Chinese, pretty much don't care, you know.
So do you have Czech staff as well, or English only?
I do at the moment have one girl who's who's Slovakian. It's pretty much same to me still after all these years. She's Slovakian. Most of the Czech people I've employed and Slovak people I've employed were not a good news. I remember I've had 7 of them and every single one of them did something stupid and had to leave, unfortunately.
You know, when someone comes from the Czech Republic or I suppose the other Eastern European countries to Western Europe, including, of course, the UK, you know, you can still, after 20 years after the fall of communism, you notice very different quality in service. What do you think is the problem there? Why is Czech service maybe not so bad, but much less sort of polite?
I don't know. Most of these people, they didn't even experience the old times. I guess that's brought from the families. You know, the attitude in Czech, you walk into a supermarket and people don't smile, people are not helpful, friendly. If you ask somebody for help, you know, it's almost like you're bothering them. I think it's going to be very difficult to get rid of it, you know, even with a new generation, because the old habits are being passed on to the young ones. Obviously, the young ones behave way better. They're getting the point, you know, that you can't behave the old school way. You know, you have to adapt yourself. But yeah, I guess it's going to be quite a difficult challenge and task for us as Czechs and Slovaks to overcome that burden from the past.
But how do Brits treat you? Is it an open society where people don't care where you come from, or do you feel sometimes that there is a distance because you're not from here?
I'm quite lucky. I have excellent people around me, which I really value, actually. There was a time where, you know, you said, hi, where are you from? Czech Republic. Oh, and people were not really interested talking to you. But this is really long time ago. I've been sort of adopted by a really good bunch of people, friends who took me on board, who sort of made me a little bit more English, you know, who taught me the values of, you know, British culture and society. And I'm very lucky, extremely lucky, compared to other Czech friends who I have here, who actually don't really like it here that much, you know, who don't really have that many good English friends. God knows why.
You said the business has been steady, between well and steady. Are you planning any expansion or opening another location perhaps?
I think so. That's the only thing I know how to do, actually. So I will eventually open another one. Might not be a Prague, might not be a bar, might be a restaurant or cafe or club. But the hospitality subject, that's where I think I know the most about. That's what I'm comfortable with. But hey, you never know. I might move tomorrow to Brazil because I meet somebody.
Luděk Dvořák, the owner of Bar Prague in London, ending that edition of Marketplace hosted by Jan Richter. And now in the time left to us, we're offering you another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series, The ABCs of Czech.
Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language series in which we look at the use of numbers in everyday speech. Today I'm here with
Jan Wellinger,
and we'll be looking at what you need to know when shopping for clothes in the Czech Republic. The expression for shoe size is
číslo bot,
literally a shoe number, or
velikost bot,
which means size. At least 3 different systems have been in place in the last few decades. What is now women's size 39 was not so long ago called 25 or even 5.
Pět.
The usual way to describe your shoe size is to say
mám nohu 39.
My foot is a 39, literally. The same goes for clothes. With more and more items imported from different parts of the world, you can come across various numbering systems on the labels. A very common women's size is size 38, which is a 12 in the United Kingdom, or approximately an M, in Czech pronounced as
M
or
Mko.
The best way to tell a shop assistant that you wear size 38 is to say
mám 38,
literally I have number 38. The most common sizes are called
konfekční velikosti,
which can be translated as ready-to-wear sizes. Those outside that category are
Nadmírné velikosti.
Extra large sizes, and there are special shops with that name selling both clothes and shoes. In our earlier lessons, we have mentioned bra sizes from 0 to 6, terms which are sometimes still used to describe the size of a woman's breasts. For example,
trojke,
number 3s, would be C-cup breasts. But this numbering is no longer used by manufacturers in this country. As regards sizes, you can often come across the cliché 90-60-90, meaning centimeters around the chest, waist and hips, describing some people's idea of the ideal female figure. And that's it for today. We'll be back next time with more. Till then, naschledanou!
My thanks to Pavla Horáková for that Czech lesson, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be happy to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.